The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It is a Haley and Jordan Wednesday here on the Brad Sesmat Show. Alongside Haley Stasiak, I'm Jordan Hamm. We have Devin Henry on the other side of the glass running things for us. We have a great show for you, a lot to get to. Brad's going to sit down with former Cardinals head coach and NFL on CBS analyst Bruce Arians, as well as NFL Network senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. You have fantasy football questions, he has fantasy football answers, and he knows his stuff. So always good stuff with Michael Fabiano. And then talk to the Lopes GCU athletic director Mike Vaught sitting down with Brad, covering a lot of ground. I know they have talked about ASU and GCU, if that could be in the future in terms of the basketball teams playing. I know that's been a hot topic over the past couple of years. So a lot of good stuff here on this show. We're going to start our rundown with start our news and notes with our Sagicor Now rundown. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And Haley, a lot of stuff going on. We just saw that Eno Benjamin and J.J. Taylor got the Doak Walker Award semifinalist nods. So they are semifinalists for best running back in the country. The Coyotes played last night, but we're going to get to the big story. The hard-hitting news, Mike Leach talking about Pac-12 coaches in a brawl. Devin, hit it.
I'm trying to think through them. Based on their players, Kyle would be. I mean, those guys hit you as hard as anybody in the conference. Plus, he's in good shape. Okay, so let's see. We got Kevin. Then Herm Edwards is in great shape. Let me think. Am I missing anybody? And I don't really care if they get ticked off. Because actually, privately, I think I would, but we're going to be more modest than that. I'm going to say Kyle or Herm for sure. Kyle or Herm.
Why is that?
They're both in shape. For a while, I mean, simple. This age, if you're in shape, you got a chance. They're both in great shape. You know, you look. I mean, they're both in shape. They both exercise. Pretty good and successful. Background as far as conditioning, all that, and then both defensive guys, where their defensive players play tough and physical. So, yeah, I think I'd go with Kyle or Herm.
So you kind of think endurance is more so the biggest factor?
Well, you got it now. If you could stay away from him, you'd still be standing. I don't know. Maybe one of the distance runner looking guys. I don't know. I'd have to. That's a tough question.
What about like size, like a guy like Mario Cristobal at Oregon?
Well, you don't want to get tied up with him. You don't want to let him get his hands on you, because he is big and he's got long levers. You don't want him to get those things on you. He would be dangerous, though. There's no question. Formidable for sure.
Not to get you in trouble, but which coach would you least fear?
No, I can't say that. No. We already went down that hole way too far. All right.
All right, that is courtesy of QHQ and SWX in Spokane. One, just the topics they're able to cover with Michael Leach.
I don't know
any other Pac-12 press conference where that could happen, but this is a regular thing. This is almost a weekly occurrence of just Mike Leach hot takes. Your thoughts?
My favorite thing on social media right now is Mike Leach.
He's everywhere, whether it's a mustache or a painting
of
him
funny.
In underwear.
That was really funny, because he wasn't like anyone else would be like, what are you doing? And he was just kind of like, okay. And he like went with it. Like, I'm looking at his Twitter right now. He like retweeted a video of a cat being chased by a mouse. Like, it's in the Twitter, whatever, the tweet is, the cat must be deeply embarrassed. Like, what other head coach do you see across college football that's just retweeting random stuff like that? Like,
I feel qualified to talk about this.
All right.
And I have a story, and I saved it for air. I wouldn't tell Haley it. Back in high school, I was in AP Calc. I ended up not taking the test because I was too busy doing this. My math teacher, someone said like, oh, the science teacher said he could take you. And he was like, are you kidding me? And that got me thinking, like, what would happen if all of my teachers got in a fight? Who would win? And that started a bracket of 64 faculty members throughout the school.
You had 64 teachers?
Well, we started to do, you know, assistant baseball coaches and, oh, okay. like, not, yeah, not like, not strictly...
What kind of- High
yeah,
school
yeah, we did
you
principals,
at?
Not, and of course we had the disclaimer of like, hey, this is all in good fun. We don't want violence. We're not promoting violence, whatever. That happened in my second hour. By the time I was walking to my fourth hour, I was stopped by a teacher at my high school who ran for office this past electoral term and was like, why am I an 8 seed? I heard I'm an 8 seed. Why am I? And I'm like, okay, you're a 6 seed. So
sorry.
It kind of, kind of my claim to fame in high school swept the school. We had voting on Facebook back when voting on Facebook was a thing. And go ahead and Devin, you can pull up the photo. That was our winner.
Look at you. You're a baby.
Mr. Anderson. That was 9 years ago. I like the hair and the white belt is my biggest
takeaway. The white belt.
That was actually the class where I had.
The Aeropostale t-shirt too.
Yep. So we made him a belt, and that was Mr. Anderson, my JV baseball coach. He actually won it all, and that's where I came up with the idea. So I feel qualified to talk about this. I think that Mike Leach was right on the money with his analysis, but I believe he was missing Justin Wilcox. He's the youngest coach in the conference, and I think that he could definitely do some damage. He is a pretty jacked guy as
when
well.
When he was talking about how, like, privately he thinks he could win, like, that spoke to me.
I think that he would have some like guerrilla warfare. Like
he'd just be smart. You wouldn't
he'd
be able
have
to
sand in his
him.
Pocket and just like throw it in their eyes.
Like
or
some Hunger
like that.
Games. That's what I'm imagining here is like a Hunger Games-esque kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that Coach Smith over at Oregon State would be a sneaky one because he seems very nice, but I have a feeling he'd be like, hey man, let's just be fine, whatever, boom.
Let's
and then just
teammates
like karate and- chop right in the throat. So that's your hard-hitting news on the day. Coming up next, we have Brad Sesmat talking to Bruce Arians. I don't know if they're going to cover Mike Leach, but that's going to be on my mind the rest of the day. And but we have Bruce Arians coming up next on the Brad Sesmat Show.
Now let's turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals. It was good to hear Bruce Arians' voice yesterday. It makes us miss the coach here in the Valley, but you can check out all the things going on around Bruce on his website, the Arians Family Foundation. Check out everything that's going on there at Arians Family Foundation. I know you have your golf tournament in March, Bruce. It's Brad Sesmat. It is good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Brad?
Bruce, I'm doing great. Let's just get right to it. Your broadcast with CBS, you saw the Cardinals. What did you make out of them now you've had some time to digest the Sunday game and where they are under Steve Wilks?
I think the positive thing is that I think Josh Rosen is obviously a very tough guy. And he's an accurate guy. I think he's something really special to build around. The stars on defense. Chandler Jones obviously was big in the game. Marcus Golden had great pressure. Corey Peters. D-line, I think, they can keep Robert Kamdichie healthy. He's one of the best in the league.
Really?
I think Corey Peters boasts one of the most underrated three techniques in the league, I think. He's great against the run. He plays really hard for a big man. He can press the pocket and get pressure when he's singled by a guard. But on the downside, that third and long touchdown, I thought was just really bad ball. Every time that Tyreek Hill got matched up in the middle, it was a mismatch for Kansas City. I didn't get to see an answer for it. He got Buda Baker, who obviously thought he had help over the top. Pat Peterson thought he had help over the top. The first drive, the lack of communication, appeared to me to be really bad. just not having an answer for that matchup. Great drive to start the game. Great drive to start the third quarter. Thought Byron Leftwich did a heck of a job mixing the run and the pass. It was good to see David Johnson getting all his touches again.
Talking with Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians Family Foundation, of course, Bruce, with CBS Sports. He did the Cardinals broadcast along with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green on Sunday in Kansas City. Big picture to you, Bruce. How different do the Cardinals look to you without Bruce Arians' imprint on the team?
I don't know. I guess that's for everybody else to decide. But I really like what they're doing offensively now with Byron. running the show. He knows how to use David. He knows how to get Larry involved, but he can't block for him. The offensive line, with all those injuries, it's tough to see Josh get hit that many times. The more you try to help the tackles, the fewer guys go out for passes. And the way Kansas City was playing it, you had to get those tight ends and slot receivers out in passes. So the tackles got to hold up, and the whole line has to hold up better, I think, for them to get to where they want to go. And they looked really good in the second half defensively against Kansas City, and just a poor start to the game.
When you look at Josh Rosen, and this goes into meetings before the game, the broadcast meetings, in your preparation, and seeing him from the rookie to where he is now halfway through the season, is he on a good track, a good plane in terms of development, Bruce?
No, I don't think there's any doubt. You see him get better. He's a very, very confident young man. And I really enjoyed sitting down with him in the production meeting and seeing that confidence. Mm-hmm. Having the right answers, knowing that he's in a growth period. And, I mean, rookie quarterbacks, it's going to be high and low every week because it's such a learning curve for them. You'll see it with all these guys. They'll have great games. They'll also have a real bad game. That's just the learning curve of a rookie quarterback, and you have to live with it.
Have you seen Baker and Darnold and Allen as well as Josh in person this season, Bruce?
All but Josh Allen. I have not seen Josh Allen. Saw Baker Mayfield once. He didn't play in the Steeler game. I did, and Sam Darnold. Impressed with all those guys. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the league is right now blessed with a lot of very good young quarterbacks. It was rough there for a while, but I think the one thing you're seeing guys coming out of college right now, they're more prepared to play in the NFL.
How about Byron Leftwich in the role and taking over mid-season? You brought him here. Are you surprised that they elevated him? And what did you see out of Byron on Sunday?
Not surprised whatsoever. I thought he was going to be a coordinator pretty soon anyway. And I thought it was a great move by Michael and Steve to get that done. Mike McCoy is a good friend. I don't know why it happened that way, but it's obviously Byron knows how to get David involved.
Yeah. The whole broadcast move for you, how has it worked out? I thought you had some really good moments in a tough game to be an analyst in yesterday. That's not a spot in a game that's that close where three guys in a booth, it all works together. Have you found the broadcast booth to be to your liking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so lucky to have Greg Gumbelin, Trent Green, Ken Mack, Suzanne Smith. We have such a great team, Melanie Collins. I'm the rookie, so they're bringing me along.
Yeah.
And try not to talk when somebody's talking in my ear and asking me questions and answering them back. But it's been fun. It's fun to Fridays and Saturdays go to practice and meet with the players and the coaches and keep your hand in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And you're done coaching. There's a story that you left open for Cleveland last week. Come on, Bruce. Help us out on that one.
I don't think anything's going to happen there, no.
Yeah, yeah. But would you ever go back to coaching, or you think the booth is your spot?
I think the booth is my spot. And like I said, the only place I would even consider would be Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. So you'd keep that door open. The golf tournament and everything else in the off season. You've not pulled up the plug on everything here in Arizona, right? We're going to see you out here in the offseason still?
Yeah, Chris and I will be out in January and February. And living in the valley,
play in the open.
I hope so. I've got to work the Super Bowl that week, but hopefully I can get off Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
To do our foundation work and play in the pro-am, and but yeah, I mean the need for the children in the valley is so great. There's no way we're ever going to stop.
Last question: what do you make out of the Cardinals as a team in the NFC West? Now that you've had a chance to see them, how far away are they from being in the level with the Rams and Seahawks from your view?
Well, the biggest thing is just keeping an offensive line healthy for 1 year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's been about 3 years in a row that they've gotten wiped out. And defensively, that's been a top 10 defense for 5 or 6 years. And I'd like to see their level of their play pick up a little bit.
I'll let you go off that, Bruce. I appreciate the time and the insight. Good to hear your voice yesterday, and let us know if we can help on the foundation when you guys come out to get the word out. Thanks.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, guys.
It's always good to hear Bruce Arians' voice. Appreciate Bruce Arians coming on board. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Many weeks we have Michael Fabiano on. I like to joke around with him about things like why the Cowboys stink or firing their coach or other stuff. But this is a pretty serious week because playoffs right around the corner. The field conditions in Mexico City are awful with Rams and Chiefs. Brandon Marshall's now in place. Cooper Kupp's hurt. And the questions are just flying out of the mailbag. So let's get to the Hall of Famer right now with the NFL Network and NFL.com. That would be Michael Fabiano. Which one do you want to pick off the bulletin board that's the hottest button for you to push today?
Well, there's nothing hotter than the Le'Veon Bell situation. And whether or not he's going to report today, he's got to report by 1 p.m. Pacific time. All reports suggest he is not going to be there, which means Le'Veon Bell will be the most dropped player in fantasy football come tomorrow, which is insane because the guy was a top three pick in a lot of leagues. So if he is not going to report, as most people are suggesting, then that's good news if you have James Conner. Who clearly will continue to be the featured back without any issues there. I also would suggest that if you have Bell and Connor and you're in a deeper league, you may want to pick up Jalen Samuels, who looks to be the handcuff for James Connor moving forward. Connor coming off a concussion, he's still in the protocol. He's expected to play this week, but you almost always want to handcuff your stud running backs when you get to this time of the season because, God forbid, somebody gets hurt and you don't have his backup, you're going to be in big trouble.
No, that's great advice. Great advice there. All right, Rams-Chiefs, are you worried at all about players in this game? I'm getting questions saying, you know, are guys going to be held out? Is this game going to be played? I think, of course, it's going to be played. Address that, if you could, Michael.
Well, I mean, the NFL is aware of the situation with the field, and to be honest with you, I would be starting my Chiefs and Rams as I normally would, unless we hear some sort of report that the game is going to be delayed, or it's so early, I would be shocked if anything happens that's drastic to the point where the game isn't played, but the NFL is also not going to put their players in harm's way as well. So it's certainly something to watch, and especially if you have a Greg Zuerlein or Harrison Butker, who are the kickers for both of those teams. I mean, if the conditions are not good, could be hard to kick the football as well, but I would be really surprised if the NFL put these players in any sort of harm's way. Let's just put it like that. But certainly something to watch for in the next couple of days.
Okay, a lot of questions about Cooper Kupp and the injury there. What do you make out of the Rams situation now?
Stinks, because Cooper Kupp is one of the better wide receivers and more consistent wide receivers in fantasy football. If you need a wide receiver, Josh Reynolds is next up in the two games that Kupp missed earlier this season. He was averaging right around 11 fantasy points per game in PPR leagues, so he is certainly worth a look off the waiver wire because you always want to have shares of explosive offenses, and so the Rams have one of the most explosive offenses in the league, so he is going to be a popular add off waivers.
And that brings me to Brandon Marshall. Last week we were talking about Dez and the Saints. Now it's Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, and Marshall, now people aren't going to go nuts and pick him up like Dez Bryant when he signed with the Saints, but again, you've got an offense that is putting up points at a historic rate, and you can make an argument that Brandon Marshall could end up being the number two option in the pass attack behind Michael Thomas there, unless Tre'Quan Smith can be a little bit more consistent. So is he worth a add in all leagues? No. Is he worth an add if you're looking for a wide receiver and you want some shares in that Saints offense? Then absolutely.
The Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano with us, Sports 360AZ, and of course Michael Fabiano with the NFL Network and NFL.com, the Hall of Famer. Blake Bortles bounces back, Ryan Fitzpatrick all over the place. Fans are losing their minds in particular about what to do with Fitzpatrick. Where are you at on these two guys, Mike?
What a crazy game, right? I mean, he threw for over 400 yards and didn't even score 14 points.
Right.
And it was his worst game that he actually started and finished, because his previous worst was in Chicago where he was pulled. But, I mean, that's the problem with Fitzpatrick. He is like two or three picks away from getting pulled and replaced by Jameis Winston at any time. Now, with six teams on a bye, would I play him this week? I mean, you probably have to.
Right.
Because they're still putting up tons of yards. I mean, the Buccaneers' offense has been ridiculously productive this season. It's just their defense is bad, and that's why the team is not going anywhere. But in an offense where either they're throwing the ball in the second half because they're behind and Fitzpatrick is accumulating garbage time points or they're getting into high-scoring games, the Buccaneers' offense has been pretty productive in terms of their passing game, not so much their ground attack. Unless you were smart enough to start Jaquizz Rodgers last week, and if you were, then you should be doing my job because nobody saw that. But Fitzpatrick is a risk-reward pick every single time he plays because he is not secured as the top quarterback in Tampa Bay. And I would have been surprised if Fitzpatrick ends up being the starting quarterback every week for the rest of the season, because do the Buccaneers want to actually give Jameis Winston a look? Because this is a situation where they're going to have to decide whether or not they need to get another quarterback. And there's also the situation where if he gets hurt in a game, then they have to pay him. There's a couple of different scenarios there that sort of muddy the Buccaneers quarterback spot, but in terms of fantasy, Fitzpatrick's been much better than he has been bad this season, so I would roll with him if I didn't have a more reliable option.
Yeah, it's driving people crazy that I'm seeing on Twitter and sending questions.
No, I know, because
They don't know. You don't know.
And last week, you know, to his credit, Mike Evans should have caught that pass in the end zone for the touchdown, and then you would have had a nice swing there, because what happened on the next play, Fitzpatrick fumbled, you lose points. So it could have been better. It wouldn't have been great. Could have been better. But, again, high-scoring offense. They're going to throw the ball a ton. Giants coming up next week, so he's going to be worth a look, but he's always going to be a risk.
And Blake Bortles, I'm getting a lot of angst about Blake Bortles this last week. Like, what are we going to get?
Good.
Yeah, right.
He was actually listed as a sleeper for me last week. Why? Because when Leonard Fournette is out on the gridiron, who's the centerpiece of the Jaguars offense, and Blake Bortles doesn't need to throw the football as much, and that's good for Blake Bortles, because what does he do? He turns the ball over a lot. So moving forward, like, I can see people starting Bortles this week against Pittsburgh. No question about it. Pittsburgh's pass defense hasn't been good this season. So especially if you're in a super flex league or a 2QB league, Bortles is worth a look. If you're in a deeper league, you need a quarterback, I think he's worth a look as well. And again, it's part and parcel, and they have Leonard Fournette back, and they have what they've built their offense around back. So Bortles is not going to be put into a position where he's going to have an opportunity to throw the football and then potentially turn the ball over more with Fournette in the backfield.
Okay, a few more questions. Let Michael Fabiano go. We'll go right to the mailbag here. A lot of running backs on bye this week. So Alex Collins or Doug Martin, where are you at on that one?
I would go with Collins because the Bengals defense has been getting absolutely destroyed by running backs lately. We just saw two guys, Kamara and Ingram, score over 20 points against them last week. So I'd go with Collins, although Doug Martin is a good play as well if you're in need of a flex starter, because the matchup's very favorable against the Cardinals.
Who do you like more rest of the way, Aaron Jones, Sonny Michel?
I love Aaron Jones. You know that I've been trying to talk Aaron Jones' fantasy start into existence. It looks like it happened. I don't know if I would go with him over Sony Michel for the rest of the season, because Sony Michel earlier this season was a very solid RB2, bordering on an RB1. And with an extra week to get healthy, I think the Patriots are going to get back on track. They'll get Rob Gronkowski back. So I think Michelle's going to be very productive down the stretch. I still like Aaron Jones, and I definitely start him this week against Seattle, and their defense has been giving up about 5 or 6 yards per carry over the last 4 weeks.
Rivers or Trubisky this week?
Trubisky. I don't like the matchup with Rivers. He has actually struggled in his career in home games against the Denver Broncos, whether it's been in San Diego or Los Angeles. And that's just a better matchup. And I get it. Trubisky's playing against the Vikings. It's a home game. The Vikings have not been as effective defensively on the road as they have been at home. So I think Trubisky, he's had one bad game over his last 4 or 5 weeks. So I'd stick with him.
James Conner and Josh Gordon for Hopkins.
It really depends on whether or not losing James Conner will hurt your backfield depth. Getting Nuke Hopkins is great, but in a situation like that, if losing Connor really hurts what I have in my backfield, then I'm not going to do it. Let's not forget, this guy's a top three running back, top three. And Josh Gordon, although he's been a bit inconsistent, is starting to see more opportunities in that Patriots offense. So it'd be a tough trade for me to pull off, especially if losing Connor really hurt me in, at the running back position.
Last question for Michael Fabiano. Start Drew Brees against my Eagles beat-up secondary or Patrick Mahomes against the struggling Rams defense?
Isn't it insane? Like, number one, if you've got both of these guys, like, trade one. Why do you need both?
Right.
So, I mean, that, to me, it's, I don't know. Like, if I have an elite player and I can't play him because I already have an elite player, trade him. Because then you're just giving yourself a headache every week. Do I start Mahomes? Do I start Brees? So I'm going with Mahomes here, unless we have an issue with the field conditions, as we've talked about. But it's a coin toss. These quarterbacks are both elite players who have great matchups.
I promise last question, and now it will be last question.
Sure, no.
Anything
all
else?
Good.
Anything else that you see going on out there that's caught your eye?
Well, again, the biggest story right now is what's going on with Le'Veon Bell, and that's sort of we're sort of waiting, right? The clock is sort of ticking here. It's almost time to either we're going to know whether or not Le'Veon Bell is going to come back, or we're going to know that he's not going to play for the rest of the season. So that is a that's a big topic of conversation, and also. Looking at the matchups this week as I'm starting to write Stardom and Sit'em, there's a lot of very good running backs, some of the elite running backs in the game that have really good matchups this week, you know, like Gurley, like Kareem Hunt, like Christian McCaffrey. So you're going to get Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, the list goes on and on. So fantasy owners who have some of these backs are probably going to get some very good numbers from these guys because the matchups couldn't be better.
Always good, my friend. Appreciate the time. Let you back at it. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
There's Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network, joining us every week, talking fantasy football. Appreciate all the time. Great insight with Michael Fabiano, sports360az.com. Stay with us. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics year around into year three of Talk to the Lopes. And there's big news on campus with the men's soccer team in success. The men's basketball team is getting started. All these sports to take a closer look at through the eyes of the athletic director here. This is Mike Vaught, VP of Athletics. We have had Mike on the show several times. Hard to believe that it's now 4+ years that Mike has been here in the Valley. And I thought it'd be great to have a wide-ranging, big picture, where are things? Or maybe, let's just talk men's soccer here for a minute, Mike. I mean, you talk
about... Good morning.
About...
How you doing?
Mike, I'm great. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
Doing great. Yeah, it's been a good morning over here. We just got to watch the NCAA show and find out where our men's soccer team are headed, and they're going to UC Irvine to play this Thursday night at 8 o'clock our time. So exciting news, and really proud of our student-athletes, and Coach Heineman and his staff done a fantastic job building that program over the last 4 years, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Over the summer, I was in Brian Mueller's office just talking about sports all over, and he immediately went into men's soccer and how he was excited for that and the growth of development and wanting to see the volleyball programs come along. Let's just talk about the sports that are in play right now and how they've all performed from your point of view, Mike.
Well, you know, all three fall sports, I believe it was maybe our first year here, we made coaching changes. And with all three sports, it takes time to build culture, recruit. You know, the recruiting cycles are so different for the female sports versus the male sports. We've got good leadership in those positions, and we're making progress. And women's soccer, they ended up finishing fourth in the WAC this year and had one of those strange years. At one time, they had 7 starters out. They had a lot of injuries this year. But finished strong at the end. And then volleyball, of course, they play through Thanksgiving. So we're in the tournament right now, in the WAC tournament as it stands today, and we'll see how they finish out. And hopefully I'll be able to watch men's basketball in the Wooden Classic and then drive up to Bakersfield and watch our volleyball team on that Friday after Thanksgiving.
How important is it for you? And when I ever say how important, the answer I get is very important. So poorly worded on my part. Let's start over on that. When you have all these sports and you try to get to each and every one to touch them, take me through how that works for you and the places you go on a given week and how many different events you may get to. Give the fans kind of an idea of your calendar.
Yeah, well, I actually track it because I want to try to see all the teams as much as possible and balance it best I can. With men's basketball being a marquee sport, of course, I see them more. And I'll probably travel 8 to 10 times with them this year. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do based on my calendar is travel with all of our sports, each team, once every other year, and definitely go to postseason play and WAC, you know, championships and WAC tournaments. So I went to over 300 events last year, counting home and away, and just want to be visible for our student athletes and know we're here to support them. We feel like as athletic administrators, we're here to facilitate the coaches' needs and the student athletes' needs, and we want to be visible and know that we're here for them. And I even come in the mornings at 7 a.m. and work out with whatever teams in the weight room just so I can be around the kids, because yeah, I get caught up during the day in meetings and don't get to see them and try to swing by practice. I may stick my head in, you know, women's basketball practice for 15 minutes or so, but I think it's really important that we have that connection with my staff, each sport administrator being a part of those teams, and I think the coaches and the student athletes really appreciate it.
Talk to the Lopes this week. Mike Vaught, VP of Athletics, the athletic director with us, giving us a big broad brush of where the athletic department is, current, future, and players too. I'm going to focus on Andy Stankiewicz just for a moment. The baseball program having new facilities, and you've had new facilities pop up all over the place. The baseball program at GCU, while right now the focus is on basketball, baseball has become a national brand at Grand Canyon from my view. The circles that I'm in when I'm at Diamondbacks or talking to baseball people, they will say, boy, Coach Stankiewicz is doing a great job over there at GCU. If you could talk a bit about Andy, the job he's doing, where the program is, and how last season, postseason, having a player drafted helped.
Absolutely. And first on the facilities, let's thank President Mueller and his group for the university plan and the university build out, because they're the people behind all those facilities and absolutely fantastic facilities here. Of course, that helps recruiting, as you know.
Yep.
But for baseball, I mean, Coach Stankiewicz is one of the better coaches, I think, in the country. We're very fortunate to have him. He's got a great staff, and he really recruits a quality player, but yet a quality young man. I mean, that's a fun group of kids to be around, first class in every way, and Andy just runs a great program. He's you know, becoming nationally known really as a baseball coach, and I think the future is really bright for that program. They've got a really good job the last 2 years, and they've got some good players coming in this coming year, and recruiting's really picked up with the facilities and the tradition they've created and built on. We've had great baseball tradition here at GCU for years, but he's really building that Division I tradition, and really proud of what he's done, and we're excited he's here. I think this year is going to be a fantastic season.
He's played a top shelf schedule too, and I can't believe the amount of quality programs that you're getting to play. And I know it's getting harder in basketball to get those teams to come here. From a scheduling standpoint with baseball, do you have an idea of some of the non-conference games you could share with the fans for this coming season?
The interesting thing, we had a discussion about this the other day. All of our teams have really stepped out to play some top 25 programs. For baseball this year, you know, Wichita State's a good program. We've got Cal on the schedule. We've got Stanford. We go to TCU for a three-game series. We got USC for three games.
Wow.
Playing Illinois again this year here. Played them up there last year. We've got Utah. Then we basically start conference play after that. But every team in the spring have really done a great job scheduling. Softball's got Florida State coming in. Defending national champs, Oklahoma, coming back in. And they've really, from a philosophical standpoint, we really feel that builds our program to get us to the point that we're really ready to compete for WAC championships and WAC conference play. And, of course, it really helps recruiting. So we're excited about our spring schedule with all of our sports.
Basketball for Nicole and Dan. Is it getting harder in particular for the men's side to get teams to come here because of what is viewed as the home court advantage?
Absolutely. It's kind of a double-edged sword, but our President Mueller and the university team have done a great job building that atmosphere over there from day one since they arrived. And It's a great atmosphere to play in, as you know. It's really gained national attention the last few years. But that does make it harder for people to come in and play. They'll play us on neutral sites, but they really don't want to come here. We're getting closer to getting some good teams in here. For example, in the future, you're going to see some good teams come in that we're doing some home-and-homes with. And then we've got the big game, you know, downtown in the Colangelo Classic this year with Nevada. So we're scheduling this year for men's basketball. You know, Texas, Northern Iowa is a great program. We're going to play in the Wooden Classic out next week, actually, for Thanksgiving in California. And there's Seton Hall, Miami, Northwestern, Utah. There's some good teams in that tournament. And really excited for the challenge.
A couple other questions I'll let you go. I always get asked about the relationship or scheduling Arizona State. Is there anything new on that front? Because it is the most commonly asked question I get from fans.
I think we have a great relationship, and Ray Anderson and I have a great relationship, so do our schools. And I feel like we're going to probably sit down and discuss that after football season's over. They're pretty busy over there with football, trying to win a divisional championship, and that there's a lot entails operating a football program, and I know they've been busy. We've chatted a couple times over the fall, and I think we'll probably chat again after their season's over.
Facilities, what's new on the docket? What's coming?
Well, that's a great question. We're in a great position. We've done 10 facilities in 2 years, and we're pretty much at the point we don't need to build anything else. So championship facilities, I think some of our facilities right now are better than the Pac-12 facilities. When people come on our campus, you know, and see our arena, our practice facility, softball, baseball, our soccer stadium, new tennis facility. I mean, it's eye-opener for some people to see what we really have here. It's kind of a well-kept secret for some people. Mm-hmm. And right now we're in good shape, and this is going to last us for a while. These facilities are just phenomenal.
Mike, this last question is one that you could go 100 different ways. It may not be a fair question, or it just may be all over the place. An athlete that you look at and say, Brad, this story of this kid getting to this point in their career from where they came from to now is really what embodies college athletics here at GCU. It may be a couple stories that you see that are backstories, and it may not be the page one headline story, but are there a couple kids you just look at and say, I can't believe what this person has had to overcome, and they're here at GCU?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, when you look at recruiting, just the landscape of college athletics right now, there's so many great stories that are never told. And we have quite a few international kids, you know, on our campus. And I'll share one quick story with you. We have a soccer player that is from Cyprus. And most people don't know this, but he was in the Army for 4 years, and he drove a tank.
Wow.
So you think about the lifestyle change that he has had coming from that environment where he grew up to Phoenix, Arizona, to a wonderful campus and a wonderful city. It's really amazing of how those kids go that far from home and make that adjustment. And, you know, it usually works out. So it's a pretty – there's a lot of great stories out there, but that's the first one that kind of came to my mind.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, good stuff. Anything else you want to add for the fans? Because we do this year-round. Anything on GCU's radar that you feel like, hey, Brad, you missed this, or here's something I want to add before we get out of here?
Well, you kind of touched on it, but our women's basketball program, we're really excited about what Coach Powell is doing there. She's a great person, recruiter, coach. There's a lot of energy in that program this year. They opened up the other night and got their first win, and they've got some quality opponents on the schedule for this year. But we're excited to see how they do in conference play. She made a good run last year in her first year. Mm-hmm. It was interesting when she arrived to campus when we hired her. There was only 7 players on the team, and she did a great job, her and her staff, and got a third-place finish in the WAC last year. So we're expecting some great things out of them. It's still a very young team, a lot of cohesiveness, a lot of chemistry, but there's a lot of energy there and a lot of excitement around that program. So we're looking forward to see what she can do the next 2 or 3 years with women's basketball, and I encourage everybody to come out and watch them. It's an exciting style of play that she implements, and I guarantee you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. you know, I had her on.
Absolutely. After. There you go.
Yeah, I had Wonder Woman on.
I was concerned on the Batmobile when they rolled in. I was hoping the brakes was going to work.
She was giving me, she's like, Brad, you're not going to bust me about Wonder Woman. I go, come on, coach. Come on, Nicole. I've seen you since you're a Mountain Point. Of course, I'm going to crush you on the air about being Wonder Woman. So
that was great. That was a great evening. That was a night to remember. And Dan mentioned to me, he goes, man, after I started out there, I was thinking, man, I hope the brakes work on this. But it did, and it turned out great.
Thanks, Mike, as always. Appreciate the visit.
Thanks, Brad. Have a great day.
There's Mike Vaught with us, GCU VP of Athletics, and that is Talk to the Lopes for this week.